Hi there, this is Darren Doctorman, producer of Trek Enhanced, and I'd like to welcome you to this commentary for the effects only reel for the Doomsday Machine. This project has been going for several years, probably since even way back in 1994, when I was working on the pilot for Voyager. My friend here, Dylan Eugene Del Gershio, was a roommate of mine between 1991 and 95. I met him at USC, and he was a huge Star Trek fan, and we were buddies, and he passed away a couple years ago. And it's a shame, because I think he would have really enjoyed what's going on. Now we have, we're in the episode now. That was the establishing shot of the Enterprise. This is all done in a program called Lightwave, which is a 3D rendering and modeling program. And I found it's really powerful to get really nice results almost immediately when you start getting a hang of using it. And a lot of people have questioned as to why I didn't go farther with the effects on here, especially things like the asteroids and damage on ships. I basically wanted it to look exactly like the original show, but just goosed a little bit. And I took a lot of pains to try and match the lighting and the style of effects that they would have done then. Very similar to the approach that we had on Star Trek The Motion Picture, the director's cut, where I was the visual effects supervisor. And we wanted to have our effects shots that were cut in match exactly the style and look of the original movie. And I wanted to do that here as well, because it was something that I was always impressed with. I saw a version of Rocket Ship XM, the 50s sci-fi movie, that Dennis Muren and a couple other people had done a special edition of. I don't know if it started out as an actual project or they were just doing it as a hobby, but they replaced the visual effects in the original movie with new effects in, I think this was the early 90s maybe, or late 80s, and the effects looked exactly like effects that would have been done in that time period, but they were just—they weren't stock footage anymore of a rocket taking off. It looked exactly like it would have been done, and I thought that was really cool. And that was one of the inspirations for this project, to be able to do modern effects and do effects that, if you didn't know the episode really well, you wouldn't be able to tell that they were done here in the 21st century. Now here is the establishing shot of the Constellation. It's, I think, one of my favorite shots in the show. And I thought that it needed a little goosing, because the original was just an AMT model hung on a string, just dangling. Well, I don't know if it was on a string, but it sure looked like it was. And I wanted to keep it almost exactly the same level of damage that was in the original, and I took great pains to not really do more than that, because I thought it was good enough for the show, and I didn't want to take you out of the moment by just, hey, looking at that great visual effects shot, just making it pretty enough to say, oh, that's cool, but not take you out of the show. The transporter effect needed extremely little modification. I just changed a little of the coloring to make it a little more gold to fit in with later transporter effects in the show. And just a little blurring to ease up the matte lines. This is one of the shots that I did specifically to mimic the style of effects in the original show by doing 2D movement rather than 3D movement. And that was one of the instances. Now we're coming up on the reveal of the Planet Killer. And I think this is one of the instances where the remastered show got it really right, and I was a little off by my staging here. Although I really like that reveal of the machine turning around. I think the way they had it with the Doomsday Machine coming up from behind them and seeing a shot through the nacelles was really good and really well done and nicely thought out. But I gotta say, I like my Doomsday Machine better. Because, again, I took strides to make it look almost exactly like the original, but just put it into a 3D world and have it be able to look real from closer up. And trying to mimic that basically cellophane and wire contraption that they came up with in the 60s, which I think really looks totally alien and unlike anything we'd ever seen before, certainly. And something that doesn't look like a ship, doesn't look like a creature, you don't know what it is. And I think that adds to the mystery of the whole thing. And I think that, you know, by making it a big seashell or whatever was done in the remastered, it just doesn't look as alien to me. It looks more concrete, literally concrete. But, I don't know, I like the translucent effect that you got. In looking at the pictures of the Doomsday Machine, it really does look like that there was an inner wireframe skeletal structure. They basically did some rings out of coat hanger wire and welded that together with some support rods, and then basically covered the inside with tin foil and maybe sprayed that a certain color, and then covered that with you know, very heavy cellophane. And, you know, you can almost see the clear tape on holding it together in a couple of the shots. I studied them a lot to try and build mine. Now we're back here to Decker pursuing the machine. And we're coming up on, I think, the first phaser fire. Almost, not quite. I like how my Enterprise looks, I really do. It's partially due to the lighting, partially due to the textures. I think it can really stand up next to the original shots because it's really not as detailed as a 3D model is today, but it's just enough to make it look like the original show, and it's lit relatively flatly. But there's still some good shadow areas in it. The weapon of the Planet Killer is absolutely a hearkening back to the weapons in The War of the Worlds, the original movie. Because I thought that was always a really cool effect. And I'm sure it was done with an air gun on a sparkler and just... you know, composited in with the Martian war machines. But I thought that was a really cool effect, and I thought that would be fitting somehow. Certainly because a lot of the sound effects from Star Trek, well, not a lot of them, but several sound effects are from War of the Worlds. So, the phasers, I wanted to keep very similar to the original. But we still have the interactive light coming from them. And that's another 2D effect that I wanted to convey to keep it in the style of the original. In these view screenshots, I grabbed the noise from the first view screenshot when Kirk is turning on the Constellation's view screen. And I just grabbed that noise and put it over the whole thing. I think it makes it a little more cohesive and shows that there are indeed problems with the Constellation's power source, and that he's constantly trying to deal with a ship that isn't working. A little bit of a scale question with this shot of the Enterprise and the Doomsday Machine, but I think it works. It's a tough balance between the actual scale of things and making it look good for each shot. So when it was in doubt, I sort of hedged my bets in between reality and the original shots. Scotty. And I think it works somewhat. It works enough so that you don't really think about it unless you're very uptight. That's it, Mr. Scott. Keep that power coming. And the Constellation seems to hold up pretty well. It, of course, is the Enterprise model with the different markings and a lot of stuff chunked out of it. But it's the same surfaces, basically. And that the maw of the Planet Killer was an effect that I really wanted to keep extremely close to the original. without doing the moiré pattern that they used. I just wanted to make it a little more dynamic, and it is, in fact, a cone with the effect mapped on it, so that if you see it moving, you see a little bit of parallax change as it comes forward, as I think you'll see in this scene. You can see the effect, maybe. Yeah, the effect a little bit. But it does have some depth, and so if you're moving around it, you'll see it change slightly. I like that shot of the Enterprise firing its phasers. It's one of the dynamic shots that I always wanted to see. And again, dynamic shots can be dynamic without a lot of movement. I mean, remember, I try to treat these as, you know, big aircraft carriers, that they can move, but just not like a fighter ship. So there's not a heck of a lot of quick banking and wagging of the engines, because I think that sort of ruins the scale for you. So that when it does make an abrupt turn, it's more of a lumbering thing. Back to the genesis of this. When I was working on Voyager, I started doing some 3D and being able to do photoreal images. And of course, one of the first things that anyone does in a 3D program, if you're a fan, is you try and build the Enterprise. So I built one in it started in Lightwave a couple years later, but I was using a program called Strata at the time. And so naturally, I built my Enterprise and started doing some renderings and started wondering, hey, this would be kind of cool. So I started doing a bunch of stills with my Enterprise and the Doomsday Machine. That's a nice shot of the shuttle there. That shuttle is, in fact, called the Spinrad, named after the author of the episode, Norman Spinrad. And so I did my Enterprise model and just started wondering, well, what would a special edition of the Doomsday Machine look like? And so I built the Doomsday Machine and did a rudimentary model of it and did some goofy textures and put it together, and it looked fine for the time, but it was a little bit blocky and a little bit amateurish, but I kept working on it, and I still have those stills that I did back in about 95. And, you know, because it was a little nod to, at that time, Close Encounters had a special edition where they showed you inside the mothership. So I thought this would be an opportunity to show a little more dynamic movements of the ships and basically take away the wire and tape feel of the originals a little bit. And because I always loved it, but I always felt sad when people would look at it and say, oh, that really looks goofy, that looks fake. You know, I didn't like that. That shot there is a nice fix to fix our scale problems. Of course, that shuttle there is way bigger than it actually is, just so that we can see it. Because if I had shown the actual scale of the shuttle next to the maw, you wouldn't be able to differentiate it from a bit of dust. So, in working in 3D and getting better and better, I realized that it might be fun to actually take an episode and replace some effects and see how close I could get to making it look as if it were done during that time. And so, probably around 95 or 96, when I started actively getting into Lightwave, I began doing that, and I put together some small demo movies and was just goofing around, and of course I had shown these to the folks in the Star Trek art department, and they thought they were cool and all that, and now they're in charge of the remastered show, so small world. Now we're getting into the third act and the battling of the planet killer. between Kirk and the constellation and the planet killer. And, you know, that is just one shot of pushing into the planet killer's maw, used over and over again, because I thought that was fine. It's the same shot, but and the size just does change a little bit strangely between shots, but it just builds up tension, and he would get a lot closer a lot quicker. And then we cut back, and it's a little smaller than before. That's another one of those little tricks that doesn't work if you look at the shots right next to each other, as you are here. The destruction of the Doomsday Machine, I had several versions of, none of which I actually think are good enough for the final show, but I think it's adequate. I like that shot, moving into the maw. That replaced the really embarrassing shot of the AMT model shaking slightly on its platform as it pushes into the rear screen projection of the maw. Yeah, I think that works a little better. And there's another shot from the Enterprise showing the scale of the constellation next to the maw. And the destruction, as I said, it really doesn't work in the original because it looks like you just have a vacuum cleaner turned on reverse and spewing out dust. This is a little more modern, but I still wanted to keep it within the realm of 60s effects. And I think it's mostly successful. I don't really know what I would do differently to make it better. That's just one of those things that you just abandon it and say, okay, well, that's good enough, I guess. But this was a fun project. I really pushed myself to get it out there before the remastered folks got theirs out, because this was a project that I had originally pitched years ago to the studio, and for whatever reason they weren't interested at that time. And I think it's a valid way to go. It's not the way they actually went, but I thought they maybe could have stuck to the more to the spirit of the effects than they have. But you know, that's just one of those things. I personally like my take on it a little more because it feels like the old show, and I really like the old show, as you can probably tell. All these credits were redone and cleaned up a little bit, and I made a mistake. I put down John Winston as playing the wrong character, and I apologize. I did, of course, sneak in my own credit right here, and hopefully no one will notice. I also replaced all the ship shots in the stills with mine, because I felt that it needed to have a little cohesion. So, anyway, thanks for watching, and live long and prosper.